But ain't you glad to be here? Amen. And you are not sick. Thank God that you're healthy and you're able to come to the house of God. And I wish some other people would realize that today. I really do. They some folk that could be here. They could be here, but they chose not to be here. They chose to be somewhere else. Now, some folk, like I say, are sick. And I'm not talking about folk that are sick or on vacation and are normally here. But there's some folk today that could be in the house of God, but they have chose not to. And I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. I have never understood that. Why you would not want to come to church. I love coming to church. I love worship time. I love fellowship time with the Lord and with you all. When I tell you that I enjoy being with you all, I mean that from the depths of my heart. I just love to see you here and your smiling faces and get to talk to you and just fellowship for a little while. But Proverbs chapter 16, look with me in verse 7. We're going to read one verse and then we're going to preach what God's given us. Notice in verse 7, the Bible said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You can be seated this morning. Lord, we come to you. We want to thank you that we never have to be alone. After we got saved, we've never been alone. There's been some lonely times, it seems. But Lord, we've never been alone. And we thank you for the promise of your word that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I thank you for the singing already, but it's the preaching hour. And God, I pray that you would just come by during this time and anoint us and touch us afresh. We certainly need you, and we want your people to get what they need out of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch and help maybe one that was lost, that they'd get saved. But for your for the saint that's here today that maybe needs some instruction, maybe needs some strength, I pray today that they would find strength and comfort in your Word. We won't take in it. We love you and ask you to save that sinner to sinner's tale. For all these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. In Proverbs chapter 16, if you notice, the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord. And that's really what I want to preach on for just a little while, is pleasing the Lord. Do we please the Lord? Are we in a place where the Lord is satisfied and that with our life? And I think that's a big question. I really do. And I think that's a question that if you're following the Lord, then you should know the answer to that question. And everything that I do, I try to look in the scope of God's Word to make sure that I'm headed in the right direction. Let me say this, that if you have grew and matured and that in the Lord, then you should really know what God wants out of your life. I should know what God wants out of my life, and that is, and that to follow Him and be faithful, and that to Him. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do we ever consider the thought, is God happy with me? Is God pleased with me? And again, I think that's a big question. As I looked about this word please in the Bible, I come across a scripture that I'd forgot. I forgot the story about Esau and Jacob. And you remember Jacob, they sent Jacob down there, I believe it was Paddan Aram, and that to find a wife and that for him from Laban's house. You remember that? But then when we got to Genesis chapter 28, the Bible said that that they had sent Jacob away, and Esau saw that they didn't want Jacob to have a Canaanite woman for a wife. And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 28 in verse 8, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto him wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And he done exactly opposite, and that what would please
his father. Now, I hope we're not that way. You know, he done that out of spite. Now, let me tell you something today. If you think you're going to spite God on anything, you're already messed up in your heart because you ain't going to spite God for nothing. You know, so I'll do this to get back at God. You realize the only one you're hurting is yourself. You're really just hurting yourself when you have that train of thought and that heart. You can go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it is, and you can see how that God was not pleased and that with the children of Israel and how that they are our examples how not to walk. But I want to look today and how do we please and that God. Now take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now I've not got started yet real good, but you stay with me. Hebrews chapter 11, and you pray for me, okay? Hebrews 11, and look at in verse 5, a man by the name of Enoch. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. And the Bible said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, what a good testimony right there. Now take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Look in Genesis chapter 5 with me. Now he's got a testimony that he pleased God. He's made it into the roll call of faith. And so we know that he's living by faith and that he has please God. You know that's all the Bible really says about Enoch in Hebrews 11 and 5 is that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wouldn't that be good if somebody wrote something about you is that we just please God? Well, look in Genesis chapter 5 and look in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. Now you need to underline that. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. There it is again. Notice that the very first part that I read, Enoch walked with God. And here in verse 20, here in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. You know why he was pleasing unto the Lord? Because he walked with God. He followed God and he fellowshipped with God, and God was pleased with him. And so that brings me to my first point in pleasing the Lord is how is our walk with him? You know, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 said that you might walk worthy unto the Lord, walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So our walk, our daily life, as we're traveling as sojourners on this earth, how is our walk with God? Do you have a walk with God? You know, the Bible talks about in Romans 6, I believe it is, that we're to walk in the newness of life. You know, we are to walk like we're saved. Amen. That's how I read that. When I read Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, and he tells us to walk in the newness of life. Hey, we're not walking like we used to before we got saved. Something happened to us. We're different than what we used to be. And bless God, we are to walk like we're different. Amen. I'm glad I'm different today. Ephesians 5 said we ought to walk in love. Little John, I said that in 1 John chapter 2 that we ought to walk like Christ walked. And Ephesians 5 said we ought to walk cautious, you know, circumspectly, and that we ought to walk in a consistency in Ephesians chapter 1. Hey, take your Bible and go over there and read this. I didn't want to get here and stay here, but look in Ephesians chapter 1. Go over there and look at how he said that we're to walk in a consistency. In Ephesians chapter 1, I believe it is. Hope I got this right. Ephesians, well, we won't find it in Galatians, will we? Sure, I thought, man, that ain't going to read right. Ephesians chapter 1, is it one I need to be in? Man, I tell you, maybe it ain't one that I need to be in. See, I know Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see, Ephesians 4, excuse me. Ephesians 4. Sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. Ain't that bad? Hey, amen. You start getting older, you can't see, and then you can't read your own handwriting. Look in Ephesians 4. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And then, you know, he begins to tell us how to walk. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And this really jumped off the page at me as I studied this the other day. And when he said, forbearing one another in love. He said, just don't forbear one another. He said, forbear one another in love. That's a big difference. You know, sometimes we put up with things. We're long-suffering, and we forbear one another. You know what that means? We just deal with one another, and we have to put up. You know something? Every one of us are different in here today, ain't we? I had to learn that sometime back, that every one of us are different. We think different. We do things different sometimes. And if we're going to put up with each other, we're going to have to do it in love. You know, to forbear some things, it's one thing to put up with some stuff and to be aggravated about it and say, man, but when we have to forbear one another in love. It's a different story, ain't it? Amen? To love one another and go on. I'm not talking about sin, and I don't think the Lord either is either. But then he says this in our walk. He says a walk in lowliness and meekness. I mean, to have some humbleness about us and to be long-suffering and to forbear one another in love, to love each other. And then he says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I am 47 years old, and I'm still learning out of this book right here. I have yet to quit learning what this Bible has to teach. And he said, as we walk, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said, not only do it to keep unity, but he said, do it with peace as we're doing it. So in our daily walk, listen, we are to walk in humbleness. We are to walk with long suffering and forbear one another. But then we go back to the book of Colossians. And what did he say over there as he tells us how to walk? He said to be fruitful in every good work. Colossians 1 and 10, he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Now I'm talking about how do we please the Lord? We do it in our walk. Enoch pleased God by how he walked. His daily life that he had. I believe that he would forbear people. I believe that he wanted to keep the unity of the bond of peace. But listen, what did he say in our walk? That we are to be fruitful in every good work. How fruitful are we in our Christian life? You know, when I think about fruitfulness, I think about trying to win souls and that to the Lord. And that's part of it. There's no doubt about that. I have no doubt that we are to win souls and that to the Lord. The Bible says at one point, wasn't it, that he that winneth souls is wise. He tells us to go out and we are to labor. He said what? He said for the fields are white to harvest. He said at one point that the laborers are few and we need to go out and labor and work. You know that you cannot produce fruit without labor. You can't do it. If you're going to produce anything in your garden, you're going to have to plow that garden. You've got to till that garden. You've got to lay off them roads. You've got to plant that stuff. And then you've got to begin to hoe it and weed it before they choke it out. But listen, it is God that gives the increase, but we are to sow and to water. Ain't that right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 over there. He said that one does what? He said, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. But God cannot give the increase on something that we do not plant or that we do not water. Do you, I understand we have things that sometimes come up on their own. I understand that wild things come up, but that's not what he's referring to. Friend, if you ever hope to do anything for Christ, you're going to have to put some labor into that thing. I'm going to have to put some labor into that thing. Do you realize if we hope, you know, we could have vacation Bible school this week, but if we never invited anybody, never told anybody, but then never prayed over that thing, why would we expect God to do anything? You have been praying for vacation Bible school, hadn't you? I hope you have. I hope you have. That, you know, as it gets closer and closer, it just begins to become more and more real to me. I wished it was real a long time ago, but it just becomes more and more real. But listen, Jesus said right here in John 15, the preacher preached on it not too long ago, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. You know the one thing God wants out of our life? Fruit. So in our walk, you want to be pleasing to the Lord? Bring forth fruit. Bring forth growth and produce something, and that for the cause of Christ. I wish that I produced more fruit. God desires fruit out of your life. We're just not here to take up space. We're to produce fruit. I believe we're to be soul winners. I believe that we are to walk a life that folk can see us and want what we got. I want what you have, that your children want what you got, that your neighbors. You know, it'd be bad to live in your house and your children would not want what you have. That'd be a sad statement of your life. You ever seen children say that about their parents? I don't want to live like they live. I've heard that over the years. Don't want to live like mom and daddy lives. And listen, that would be a sad state for them to look at your life and say, I don't want what mom and daddy's got. There's got to be something better than that. Now, if you're living for Christ and they say that, then that's their problem. But I'm telling you, I would want my children to say, boy, I want what my mom and dad's got. I want what they've got because, boy, they love God. And boy, I mean, they're just some of the happiest people. And listen, them folk that live in your home, they know it's not going to be happy all the time, but they know what sustains you and gets you through. They know the truth about things. See, it's like I tell you, you only see me for a couple hours on Sunday and an hour or two on Wednesday. I have a friend, my wife sees me all the time. She knows my life. It's like your children and your wife and your husband and for those that are in there. But he said, when a man's ways please the Lord, are they pleasing? Are we serving him? Are we walking with him? Are we producing fruit in our life? He said that you might walk worthy and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Are we trying to serve him in every good work? You want to please God, you're going to have to serve God. That's exactly what it is. He said that we'd increase in the knowledge of God. You want to please God, then learn of him. What was it he said in Matthew chapter 11? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my burden, what is it? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What did he say? He said, learn of me. And then he said this. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know why some Christians ain't got rest in their soul? They ain't learned of the Lord yet. Oh, they're saved. They just ain't learning about him. You want to please the Lord? Learn about him. Open this book and begin to read about him. Begin to learn about what the Lord wants out of your life and how he can use you and that for him. I feel so bad for people that are just living this life and wondering what the great cause or the great reasoning is why they're here. You're here to serve God. That's it. You're here to praise him and to honor him with your life. But then some people wonder, why am I here in this great cosmos? You know, they look at everything. They look at how big and how little. And by the way, it is big and we are little. And ain't it amazing that God sent his son to die for us so that we could get saved? That is amazing to me still to this day. But we increase and learn about the Lord. And notice he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to yourselves. Some Christians don't have any rest because they've not took the yoke. They've not learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to please the Lord in your life? Walk with him. Spend some time with him. Learn how to please him. Ain't it good, moms and dads, when your children just have a pleasing life? I mean, a pleasing life. And you know, Mom and Daddy, I forget, and I might have told you all this story. I think I have. I took one of them out either for a birthday or for Mother's Day or Father's Day, and we took them out. And I remember I'd went and got me and my sister and Miss Kelly, we took Mom and Daddy out. And I remember I went and got the car and brought it around and picked them up. And they were just thanking us. They were just thanking us for the life that we had. And what do you mean? They said, well, we talked to our people in our Sunday school class and said they've got their kids at 30, 35, 40, and 45 years old coming back home to live with them and bringing their kids back with them. And Daddy said, man, I'm just so glad you've got a job and you live on your own. And it was pleasing to them, you know. They didn't have to carry us on. Sometimes I feel like the Lord has to carry me along sometimes. You ever feel that way? But you know, we are to be strong in the power of His might, ain't we, you know? And He will help us. You know, He said in Micah chapter 6, He said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? He said, shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's talking about, shall I pay everything to try to get me right with God? He said, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He said, you want to please God? He said, then you do right. You do justly. He said, you love mercy. That's a big old statement right there. I looked at that last night as I studied, and I thought, to love mercy, man, that's a big deal right there. That, you know, that's that forbearing one another in love. You know, forbearing somebody in love, sometimes you just got to love mercy. I would, you know, the Lord loves mercy today. Don't, you know, He would rather have mercies than have justice. Wouldn't He? He said, and to walk humbly with thy God. He said, you want to know how to please God? Then you walk humbly with Him. You get before the Lord and walk humbly with Him. But He said, when a man's ways please the Lord. Do we please the Lord? Is my ways pleasing? You know, I look at that. You know, sometimes, and I got to be very careful right here, because if you go back to the text verse in Proverbs 16 and back up 5 verses, the Bible said all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Everybody thinks that they're right. You know, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. The way that man travels, the way that he thinks. You know, and if you go on over, and I believe it's in this chapter, and you can also go back out of Proverbs 12, you know, that there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Some don't think they've got it figured out, but at the end, they really don't. They're going to die in their sin. I hope that ain't you. I hope you're saved this morning. But do I please the Lord? I think that's a big question, when a man's ways please the Lord. In our walk, we please Him just like Enoch did. But then I looked in Psalms chapter 69, and the Bible said this, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. He said, God would rather have praise and thanksgiving out of me than to have sacrifice. Now, He didn't say that ox and that bullock wasn't pleasing. That ain't what He said. He just said what? He said, I'll praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better. He would rather have praise out of you and out of your life than have to have you come and offer a sacrifice. You know, I think back to, when I read this, I thought back to, where is it in the book of 1 Samuel over there? 1 Samuel chapter 15, somewhere around verse 22. You know, after God had sent King Saul out to kill all that was at the Amalekites, I believe it is, and he went out there and destroyed all the bad stuff, but he brought back all the sheep and the oxen and all that. You know, Samuel said, what meaneth the lowing of the oxen? You know, he come back and said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I've done what God said to do. No, he didn't. God said, go out there and utterly destroy everything. And He even brought the king back, King Achak. He brought him back with Him. And God said, kill him while you're out there.
And you know what? And I look at some of this stuff and I think about that. I look at that. He wanted all the Amalekites destroyed and all that stuff. And you know, that was the enemy of God's people. And you know, all through that Old Testament, he had them killing and slaughtering and not taking part of it. Don't take it home with you. Don't learn about why. Because it was going to be against them. And I look at Israel as they're fighting all these battles. And you know, that's what God wants us to do, is kill and slaughter all that stuff that does not belong in our life. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? A type. It's a type. We need to get it killed out of our life, and it no longer belongs there, needs to be there. But he brings all this back. And Samuel asked him, what meaneth the lowing of the oxen, you know? He said, the people wanted to bring them back to sacrifice unto your God. You know, was it Samuel? Samuel said there, you know, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. He said, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, you'd have been better off just to obey God and done what he told you to do than to bring all these animals back to offer to sacrifice. God didn't want that. You know, sometimes we get in our mind that God wants something else out of our life than what we're already supposed to do. He just wants us to obey. You want to please God? Just obey God. You want to please him? Obey him, get saved, and then begin to obey him and what he's required out of your life. But notice he said in the book of Psalms, he said that praise and thanksgiving. God would rather have you praising him and thanking him, and that will please him when we do it from our heart. A lot of times we get up in the choir, we sing in the congregation, we sing the songs because that's the number that's called out. And that's what we sing. I think that's good, but do we sing it from the heart? Have you ever just sung a song because you wanted to sing a song? Have you ever sung a song from the heart that really told how you felt about the Lord? Have you ever really sung a song like that? And you, it didn't matter if anybody, you might have sung it at home and just sung it to the Lord. And just sung. I like that song that we sung this morning, page 16. I know he heard my prayer. I like to sing that. I'm glad he heard my earnest prayer. At night I come to get saved, that was an earnest prayer. I've had a lot of disingenuous prayers over the years, but that night I got saved, it was an earnest prayer. Because I wanted to get saved. Man, that's all I knew to do. I just knew to come to him. And I knew that if I asked him. And I think back to that sometimes. I remember, I still remember praying. I remember kneeling and still praying. And all I knew to do was ask him to save me. That's all I knew. I know nothing else. I didn't know no flowery words or no long drawn out prayer. And I don't think God wants us to have a long drawn out prayer. You know, you come to him to get saved, and man, he'll save you if you'll ask him from the heart, you know. But do we sing with praise in our heart? You know, Isaiah, he talks about how that they would, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouths and with their lips do they honor me, but are far removed their heart far from me, and with fear they and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Just talk about fear, but it's not in their heart. Have a good word and sing a good song, but it's not in their heart. I'll be honest with you. I like that song that me and Miss Kelly sing. Sometimes it's different now because that's a real song. Not because we sing it, but it's real to me because it is different now. It is different. And it's only different because of him. He's the only one that can make things different. He's the only one that can change things. I think about those songs in the Redback Book and the Blue Book and what we sing out of the Black Book sometimes that I just don't want them to be words on a page and that we just sing it
that I want it to come from the heart. When I sing, I want it to come from the heart. When I testify, I don't want to testify simply because it's time to testify. But you know, He's worthy of us saying something every time the floor is open. He's worthy of it, friend. I mean, to testify and to say, boy, I'm glad to be saved. Let me tell you and thank you about it. I just want to thank God for what He's done. Some of you don't have a problem with that. Some of y'all are good at testifying. You want to thank God. Some of you ain't so good at it. You need to learn how to squeak out a thank you and praise the Lord every now and again. And that because He's worthy of it. I mean, when's the last time that you sang from the heart? When's the last time that you thanked God from the heart? I mean, to look over everything that God... I'm talking about how to please God. You want to please God? You're going to have to thank Him and praise Him for what He's done for you, friend. I don't think that we can be pleased and keep our mouths shut. Hey, Psalms 107 and verse 2 said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I think we need to say so today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant. Praise is comely. What that word praise and comely, that word comely means about praise. It means proper and suitable. It's right to praise God. It's right. It is right for you to get praise from your mouth in singing. It is right for you to get praise from your mouth in testifying. It is right for you to raise your hands. But it is right to live a life that is pleasing and praising and that to the Heavenly Father today. When a man's ways please the Lord. Are we pleasing unto the Lord? Number three, when our desires are right, we can please God. 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon and God are talking. God has asked Solomon, what do you want? What can I do for you, Solomon? He said, give thou therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon said, Lord, I just need a heart that has some understanding about it to be able to judge your people. You know, you're going down through there and you read that, and he said, you know, the Lord was pleased with that thing. He said, and he said, you didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for anything. And no wonder Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 16, when a man's ways please the Lord, that he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Solomon knew about that. David never understood that verse right there, but Solomon did. David was a man of war, but Solomon understood that verse right there. He pleased the Lord all the way up to the end of his life. And then as he got older, he turned away from God. Ain't that amazing? There's something to learn about. Are you saying David didn't please God? That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying Solomon understood that right there. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. God done something for Solomon that he had really never done for anybody else. He gave him peace in the kingdom. Saul had to fight. David had to fight. But when Solomon took the kingdom, God gave him peace. He wanted wisdom. He wanted to know how to follow God. And a man that had all the wisdom and had the right desire at the beginning of his kingdom. And this is what has always amazed me about King Saul, that he had all the wisdom. But yet, even at the end of his life, he got turned away from God. Then women turned him away. The Bible tells us that over there. Well, let me ask you about your desire. What you want and what you desire to have. Is it worldly things or spiritual things? You said we got to live in this. That ain't what I ask you. I said, what do you desire to have? I said, well, preacher, you've got it made. I said, you've got all this stuff. It took me 47 years to get where I am. And I don't have a lot of stuff compared to some people. Probably got more than others. And the Lord's blessed me with it. Let me explain something to you. Matthew chapter 6 put it this way. I'm getting ahead of myself. But he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said this, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know all those things, if you go back and you read that scripture, he's talking about being taken care of and all the things that the Gentiles seek after over there. But he said, if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, he'll take care of you. He'll not leave you. He's not. Listen, are we going to have the finest house and the finest automobiles? Probably not. You might. I don't know. Hey, some people, they some stuff that I don't understand the thinking of God and how God works and all that. But I know this, God's always took care of me. In my service to Him, God's always took care of me. Now, I've done my part. I've got out and hustled when I've had to hustle and work, and we've went and done what we've had to do, and I think God expects us to do those things. But He does not expect us to chase the world. He does not expect our desires to be focused on worldly things and on money and on stuff and what this world has to offer. Friend, we're just sojourning through. We're not to root here. Listen, we're just passing through. Thought about this as I studied. 2 Peter put it this way. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What things? Well, the heavens and the earth. The works that are on the earth. The stuff that is on the earth. The works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? How should you live then? If all this stuff that we've got and all this stuff that we want is going to be burned up, and all that's going to be left is our service for Christ. Then he said, then what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation, our deportment, how we carry ourselves in holiness and godliness. He said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. Then he talks about, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Stuff, I learned a long time ago to get over stuff. Stuff. Man, stuff's just stuff. I like nice stuff. I like good stuff. Don't misunderstand me. Don't miss any of it. But my life does not revolve around stuff. My life does not revolve around this world, and I don't think your life should either. If you want to please God in your desire, you know, Solomon had the right desire. He said, Lord, just give me some wisdom and some understanding that I can know what to do. And he had his desire right. Is our desire right? You want to please God, then your desire's got to be right. If all you're worried about is worldly matters, ain't going to work. You're not going to be pleasing the Lord. And I'm not going to preach on this, but if you look in verse 7 back to the text verse, he said, he maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, there is a benefit to pleasing the Lord. There's a benefit. He said, your enemies will be at peace with you. You want to please God? Man, you find out that it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he had no sorrow with it. You want to please God? When you please him, there's no doubt he will bless you. That's amazing to me. He blessed me with salvation. He's given me Christ as my Savior, give me a home in heaven. But yet down here, he's going to, you know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He shall add all that, you know, he'll bless you. It is amazing to me. Walking pleasing unto the Lord. When man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, when we walk pleasing, when we praise and thank him, that's pleasing. When our desires are right, that's pleasing. There's many more in the Bible, but just those three things. When our walk is right, our praise and thanksgiving is right, and our desires are right, that's pleasing to him. He's satisfied with us. Let me ask you, is God satisfied with your life today? Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would.